America's upcoming mission to Mars will take it into unknown territory in a number of ways, not least of them as a test of human endurance. In NASA's words, quote, astronaut crews far from Earth will rely on a social resilience and team cohesion previously untested in deep space. In other words, they're going to have to be able to put up with each other in close quarters in a long-duration mission that will challenge them in ways that are all but impossible to anticipate. But forewarned is forearmed, and that's why the NASA research program, known as High Seas, for Hawaii Space Exploration Analog and Simulation, is so important. Brian Ramos is a member of the crew, which will be simulating Martian conditions on the north slope of Mauna Loa, and he's on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Only a couple of days left on Earth, huh?
Yep, only a few days. So we're getting our last couple of days of training in, doing some geological studies, and then we'll be locked in.
And essentially what you're doing is spending 6 months on the slopes of Mauna Loa in a geodesic dome like a Martian habitat, right?
Correct. We'll be doing eight months in isolation. Uh-huh. And we'll have some limitations, so we'll have communication delays, 20 minutes each way, and lots of other challenges we'll be doing. What we call EVAs, going outside in our simulated spacesuits and doing some studies.
So you have the what does a spacesuit weigh these days? I mean, they're pretty cumbersome, aren't they?
The real deal are ours. We actually have simulation suits, so they're not the high fidelity, the full blown things. But we did do a test run, and they are quite hot and kind of awkward to walk in, and so we'll have to adjust to that.
But obviously on Mars, you won't be able to even think of going outside without them.
That's correct, yeah.
And
so
go ahead.
Oh, we'll be doing the same thing here. So in the simulation, we'll always be in some sort of encapsulated environment, so we don't leave without the suits once the simulation starts.
What's the approximate size of the space you're going to be in?
I believe they said there's two floors, so 1,200 square feet, I think, mm-hmm. And that's our six bedrooms, living, working area, all that stuff, the bathrooms, and yeah.
There aren't that many precedents for this in terms of allowing people to study the effects of that amount of time in a closed space, are there?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I'm wondering what precedents there are for this kind of study of the effects of, human interaction in a space like that.
Yeah, so there are a few different isolation environments that they have going on. We have ones in Antarctica. There are some going on over in Europe. So it's actually very, very important in trying to understand what the future astronauts are going to be, some of the challenges that they're going to have in being able to complete this sort of thing.
And some of the challenges are just flat-out psychological, creating a small human society and having it sustainable, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. The very large challenge of it, a very large part of the challenge is actually psychological because, you're away from Earth, you're away from home. You also have, again, these communication delays so that you can't Skype with your family. You can't, speak to people if you have a problem. Contacting mission control takes a long time. So, for example, if you have an emergency, you can't just call down and say, hey, what do we do? You have to have this increased autonomy, this increased ability to deal with emergencies on your own.
And are you, at some point, might you face the possibility of a simulated emergency as a further test of your kind of social resilience?
It's a possibility, sure. I mean, we'll certainly, I'm sure, have some challenges. Some, at times maybe communications go down or something like that. If that happens, we have to figure out how to work around it as a team. And that's part of the training that we're going through now is how to handle issues like that.
Are there, what does that training consist of? I mean, it would seem difficult to train people in human interaction.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, part of our training now, we're looking at the studies that we're going to be doing, the data that's going to be collected, and how to go about our day. We're also doing geological studies so we can kind of understand the science and how to go about our particular work. And then some of it, honestly, is just team bonding and that building that team cohesion, learning how to work with one another, learning each other's kind of ticks, and that all helps to open that line of communication so that, you know, when we need to speak to each other or there's a conflict, we can go ahead and deal with it properly.
And you all have different but somewhat overlapping scientific specialties as well, right?
That is correct. Yeah, so, we have our team is fantastic. I mean, I'm extremely impressed with these guys. They have, as you said, very specific abilities, but also, you know, we all have a common interest and common kind of ways of tackling issues, tackling problems and challenges. So, so far, we've worked together very well, so I'm very excited to be locked in with these guys.
Well, you know, one of the things that builds team is just the flat-out fact that you need each other, right? You need one another's specialties to complete the mission, I would think.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think we've been seeing that because even throughout the week, sometimes even just in a ride to our next location, you know, we're talking, joking around, but also, you know, bringing up little challenges and little things that we foresee happening. And I think that, you know, everybody's kind of concerns and excitement is kind of pushing us together relatively quickly.
I would think, so you must have ways to make room for a little bit of physical exercise within the habitat, I would think.
Yes, yes. So we actually will, we have an exercise plan, so we'll have to exercise. I think right now it's about 90 minutes a day, except for days that we go out in the suits. So cause some of those days will be a little bit more strenuous. So yeah, we do have to have an exercise plan so that we stay healthy while we're in there.
I would think that would also contribute greatly to psychological well-being as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very vital. And you'll see the astronauts on the International Space Station also have similar plans where they have to work out every day. And part of that is because of the effects of microgravity. You actually have muscle loss and bone loss, so you have to be careful and make sure you stay in good shape.
Now, this life on the habitat is after you've made the journey, right?
That is correct. So in our mission, we've essentially landed, and we're, you know, surveying the site. So this is actually in a habitat on the planet is what we're simulating.
But the journey itself is going to have you folks in a small space together for a good long time. You will arrive already having experienced a lot of this, I would think.
Correct. Yeah, the journey right now, yeah, would take many months. So that's a big part of it, and the return as well.
Well, it's certainly going to be. I'd love to talk to you again when you emerge 8 months from now. But it's going to be a fascinating. It should be fun. Thanks a lot, Brian, for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Brian Ramos is a graduate of the International Space University, where he earned his master's in International Space Studies. On Thursday, he and five other crew members will enter a geodesic dome atop Mauna Loa on the island of Hawaii as part of an 8-month research study of human behavior and performance. There's a sound.